You are listening to episode 45 of the FitsPro podcast, and today's episode is all about money. Whether you are a consumer, right, whether you have to come up with your own budget for yourself, your own finances, finances for your business, or maybe you manage someone else's finances, this podcast is going to touch on all three of those, and I think it's going to be very beneficial if you want to work on your money mindset in any way, shape, or form in any three of those categories. So, without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPro, and my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. All right, so today I am talking to you about money from a few different standpoints. So topics around the moolah from a consumer standpoint and a business owner point of view. So that can be, the consumer part can be from a business point of view or a personal point of view. Either way, we're going to touch on money mindset in that realm. People are mowing their lawns outside. I don't know what's going on today, so if you hear any outside noise, I apologize. I am underneath a blanket, per usual. If you do not follow me on Instagram, I will post selfies of me underneath blankets in various areas of the world recording my podcast. So I am trying to limit as much noise as possible, but let's go ahead and dive into the money. So we will cover why we buy, right? Why do humans buy in general? What motivates us to purchase something? Money mindset. And this is something that I will probably work on five ever because I am working on it now. And there's just always more to learn around our relationship with money, I think. And as well as a pricing formula, if you do have a product that you sell, I'm going to give you my pricing formula or part of my pricing formula from FitsPro Foundations, which is my 6-week online business course for online fitness professionals, and that's where this formula comes from. So pricing is one of those things that seems so simple to me now, but that I remember being crippling so many times earlier on in my business. Now I have a formula to follow, like I said, and formulas make things easy, right? They take the emotion and your wallet out of the pricing process. Now, emotions aren't bad, but they are also not how we choose what to charge for our services. So they are, however, how we as humans decide to purchase a product or service more often than not. In my mastermind, we were discussing why people buy things. And it's multifaceted, of course. Humans aren't robots. There's always emotion involved, especially with what we're likely talking about, which is making an investment in ourselves or asking someone to invest in themselves via our offer, right? In the online space of services and health and wellness. People will buy from you because they are at a point A and they believe that you will get them or your process will get them to point B. They feel that you will support them or provide the map that they're looking for. They believe that you'll help them reach a new level of themselves, right? Or that you will get them out of a hole that they're in right now, or they feel like they're in. Maybe it's healing their relationship with food. They want to feel free from bondage and obsession. Maybe they just want more headspace, right? They don't want the gym to cause, you know, a level of stress or more stress than it needs to, right? That's really why people join Built by Annie, one of my online fitness memberships. I sell joy and education. I don't know if you guys knew that, but yes, people join Built by Annie to get strong and mobile and do efficient workouts, which is great. And yes, that's a huge part of what they're looking for, but they buy because they no longer have to whip up their own workouts or worry about finding, you know, a 8 to 12 week program every 8 to 12 weeks. They can have that consistency that they're desiring without having any of the work themselves. That's what they're buying. And that brings them joy in the gym, which is what they're after. Enjoying and feeling challenged by their quote unquote me time in the gym without them having to come up with that challenge or that plan, right? It frees up the headspace for them to just follow the plan and enjoy the process. That's why people buy Built by Annie. They don't buy Built by Annie because they want to be strong. That's not the selling point, right? So look at yourself. Why do you buy things? Do you buy to feel good, to look the part for a certain status, to decrease worry, to improve yourself, to reach a new level, to support a local cause maybe, or to support the planet? These are all pretty normal reasons that people buy, right? To get results of some kind, to express a status of some kind, self-improvement, right? You know, that you believe you will become a better version of yourself, or social or environmental mission. Right? I pay to get my nails done because it makes me feel put together. Straight up. That's why I get my nails done. I could paint them myself. When someone else does it, it's gel and it lasts for 3 weeks and that's convenient. I'm paying for convenience. Right? Even when everything else is a shit show around me, it literally brings me joy to look down and see my fresh gel nails and know that they're not going to chip. And that I get to go get them done again in 3 or 4 weeks. It's amazing. I love it. And yes, I am going to pay for that service. I pay coaches because for two reasons. I want to feel less overwhelmed and get over my next hurdle, whatever that may be, whether that's having more successful launches or creating better systems or figuring out how to hire someone so I can remain more in my zone of genius. I pay for grass-fed meat because I have the money and because I value my health as well as the way that the animals are raised. And if I have the money to support that, I'm going to do that. And that would be more of, you know, in the environmental side of things. So that's all just to say that a lot more goes into someone making a purchase than wanting that thing. Right? Like I said, I could paint my nails myself. I like going into the salon because it feels like I'm being treated, like I'm being pampered. It's going to last longer, it's convenient, and it makes me feel put together. That's why I go in. Okay? So there's so much more that goes into purchasing than just wanting to buy something. Feelings drive most of our buying decisions. And those decisions can be empowering or destructive, right? Buying things does not equal making wise or massively expensive investments, and I want to make that clear. That's why and where money mindset has to come into play. So let's talk abundance versus scarcity mindset for just a minute. I did not grow up with money, and I don't say that to like, woe is me, but just to paint the picture, so my mom worked at Safeway, and that was more or less our income for a four-person household, okay? I remember delivering newspapers door-to-door, and going with my mom to like restock these little Debbie pastries early on weekend mornings. So we were not impoverished, okay? We had a food and a roof over our head, but was money viewed as plentiful and overflowing in my home? Absolutely not. Money to me was synonymous with stress, right? And a lot of our childhoods paint our picture and our relationship with money. So I encourage you to look back at that if you haven't. Obviously, I'm not a counselor or anything like that, but I think our childhoods can tell us quite a bit about ourselves. So we were never going to have enough money. And these are beliefs that I had. We were never going to have enough money and we would be restricted by it, right? Money meant restriction. Money meant stress. And that was my belief. I wasn't going to have nice things. And I certainly wasn't going to give it away if I had it. Hell no. Which is funny because my mother was a generous woman. But I think because of the stress I had around money, it was like, if I make this money, I'm keeping it. It's mine. I earned it. Right? That was another relationship I had with money. And it's taken me very long and a lot of work to become generous with my money. A large part of that is due to my husband, Nate, who is very generous. He would just give all the money away if he could. So I've learned very early as well, that hard work does not equal more money. If you believe that hard work equals money, let's set that straight right now, because that's false, right? My mother worked very, very hard and was not rolling in the dough by any means, okay? There are plenty of hardworking people in this world and in America that do not make quote-unquote good money, whatever number you want to put on that, okay? Does that mean that you shouldn't work hard? No, that's not my point. It's simply that working hard does not equal more income. In fact, the goal of entrepreneurship, or my personal goal anyway, has been to provide the same value but work less to become more efficient. That's where I believe the money is, in efficiency. So money mindset issues were plentiful for me early in entrepreneurship, as well as consumerism. I will forever work on money mindset, I think. Some shift that have taken place for me are reshaping how I see money and what I believe to be true about money. I've worked very hard to see money as a neutral energy, a simple exchange of energy. Money is not good or bad. Money is just money, right? That we can have control over our money, that it can serve us, that it can serve other people, that it does not define happiness. You know, that was a really grounding phrase for me when I began reshaping my money mindset, was money is just money. I also had a part of my mantra that I created in May of 2018 that was dedicated to money. A small part of the mantra was dedicated to money. And that was that money comes to me easily, I welcome it, and that I can do good with it, right? See, another money mindset I struggled with and still have to work on is the idea that money and greed are synonymous, which they're not, obviously, but some things that are obvious aren't actually obvious to us in our beliefs. So that if you have money, you must be greedy. Right? People with a lot of money must be greedy. That was a belief that I had, that you must want more and more things. And I want to point out that, again, I know this to be false, logically. I know that it is not true, but beliefs don't change overnight just because we have some new facts, right? I'm sure we've all experienced that. So I like to think of money as a magnifier. It will magnify your values and health and priorities. And that can all change as you grow and work on things like self-worth and your money mindset. So what has helped me a lot is seeing other female entrepreneurs do good things with their money. They provide jobs for other women. They pay off people's medical bills. They give to causes that they support. They provide scholarships and are good stewards with their money. And I'm not to the point yet that I can pay off somebody's, you know, $100,000 medical bill, but I would like to be, because I do see, you know, what Marie Forleo used to say, which is, when good people make money, good things happen. And I do believe that to be true. I did not believe that to be true necessarily when I took B school way back in whatever it was, 2015 or 2016. So if I can make money, if I can have the ability to boost the economy and create income for myself and for others, why would I hold myself back from doing that, right? I am blessed to be a blessing, and that's my personal belief anyway. With all of this, which I have to admit was a bit of a tangent as far as the money mindset thing goes, you don't have to make 10K per month to start working on your money mindset, right? I think that holds some people back. You can start working on it right now, whether you are $100,000 in debt, whether you don't have any debt, whether you're comfortable with your income, or whether you want to make way more and you're barely making ends meet right now. I began working on my money mindset and even entertaining the fact that money didn't have to be terrifying or scarce or fear-based or greed-based in May of 2018, when I was making probably $2,500 to $3,000 a month with my online business. So that was my starting point. And a big starting point, or a big reason that that became a starting point, was because I wanted to make more money and I knew that I had a lot of limiting beliefs around that. And that, you know, it wasn't gonna happen if I didn't start kind of addressing those things. And that's why in my mantra I had, money comes to me easily and I welcome it, because that was something that was really hard for me to believe and I had to repeat it over and over again. So that brings me to my next point of pricing, and not pricing your own services or products on your own wallet or your own bank account. I've spoken about this before briefly, but I undercharged for my services for a long time. And even currently, I could charge more for my services, for what I do. But that's why we have a pricing equation, right? A formula that I share with my Fitzroy Foundations people. We don't just charge more because we can. We don't just charge the highest price we can possibly, you know, charge because some people might pay it. Or that's not what my Fitzbros do. Anyway, we base our pricing on three things inside Fitzbro Foundations, none of which have anything to do with whether or not you could afford your own offers, which is also known as charging with your own wallet or charging with your own bank account. So the three things I have my Fitzbro clients consider in my perfect pricing guide is the value of your actual service, where you want to sit in the market, because there is a market, we have to consider that, and who your demographic is. So what is the value of your service? What is the result worth for your clients? And what do you feel good charging for your service or product, right? You need to be able to over-deliver on it and also feel compensated for the work that you're doing. So make sure that you leave room to over-deliver, but that you would also feel compensated for whatever work you are putting out or energy that you are putting out with your service. I've taken courses that weren't worth the money that I paid, in my opinion, but maybe they weren't the right courses for me as well. Maybe I wasn't the ideal client for that. I encourage you to take some time to be real with your product or service and look at what the true value is. What is the value of your offer to your ideal client? And that takes time, right? You're not just going to pop a number into your head. I mean, maybe you are, but this is going to take some effort. So this leads us to your demographic, right? The age, the location, the income of your ideal clients. Obviously, you need to know your ideal client first. If you don't know that, I have a free download, Ideal Client Creator. Okay. You can download it at anniemiller.co/ICA. I will put it in the show notes. If you want to work with 18 to 22 year olds in college, that pricing might be different than if you want to work with successful CEOs in their 40s or 50s, right? Like, you're going to be able to charge different to reach those two different demographics. So if you want to work with entrepreneurs in their first year of biz, or entrepreneurs making 10K per month, that would also allow for different pricing. So I follow people who honor this really well, who work with young college women, and I'd say that the max price is probably under 300. I would say it's maybe 297 is what I've seen the highest priced product for or service for someone who is in college. You know, most are between $29 and $197, I would say. And that brings me to the next point about doing market research. So who has similar services to you? How much are people charging? That is not to say that you charge the same exact thing. That's so that you can do some research and get some data and determine where you want to sit in the market. Do you want to be a top-end premium brand like Saks Fifth Avenue, right? Or are you more of a Target? Maybe you're somewhere in the middle, like a Nordstrom. I would say that I classify myself in the pricing guide as a Nordstrom. I don't price myself as a premium brand, I don't think, right? Like, my one-on-one currently is $249, and that feels amazing for me and my clients, and I like where I am in the market. I know people that charge $500 plus a month for one-on-one, right? And then Target would be somebody who's charging maybe $99 a month for something. So I consider myself to be a Nordstrom, and none of those are good or bad. You just have to decide where you want to sit in the market. I have high-end products, but my demographic is middle class, right? My training clients don't have $1,000 per month to drop on programming for a year, and I wouldn't feel good charging that. So it just wouldn't make sense for who I serve. It should be a win for you and a win for your client and a win for the market. Win, win, win. So know your demo, which comes with knowing your ideal client, My ideal client has likely done CrossFit before and/or is a coach or past athlete and values a trustworthy progressive program without all of the fluff. So I know they are willing to pay in that, you know, $200 range for a templated program like Built by Annie, $100 to $200 range. They may have been paying that much in the past for a CrossFit membership, right? For group fitness. So it's incredibly feasible for them. And then determine where you want to be in the market. That's a gut choice for you, and, you know, does allow you to kind of determine where you want your future to be. If you want to be a high-end product right away, if you want to start in the middle and then become a high-end product, that is all up to you. And that does have to do with your demo, right? Your demographics. So you need to consider that. Really, all of this is a gut choice. I am so against the idea of tripling your prices just to triple them, right? Just because somebody would pay them. If you're undercharging by 300%, then yes, increase your prices. But if you're pricing appropriately, figure out how to optimize your offer and fill more spots, right? Maybe you're priced appropriately, but you aren't packaging it right, or you're not marketing it right, okay? Don't just increase prices for the sake of increasing prices. So I just had this conversation actually with a fellow colleague of mine, and people have told both of us that we need to, you know, double or triple our prices. And for us, we feel good. Like, our gut feels so good about the price that we're at for the people that we want to reach. And that's how you want to feel about your pricing. So pricing is a thing, fam, but it doesn't have to be a scary one or a crippling one like it was for me in the early stages. Same goes for money in general, money mindset. Money can be an empowering topic. It can be a not weird topic, a not scummy topic. Pricing can feel good for you and your clients, and you can always, always, always shift your thoughts and beliefs around money. I hope, if anything, that is what you got out of this podcast episode. It wasn't so long ago that, again, I associated money with greed and scarcity and stress, and it is no longer that for me. So it's not that I don't have to continue working on it, but I definitely have taken some baby steps and encourage you in that direction. If money is something that you want to become more comfortable with and confident with, whether it be from a business or a personal standpoint, if you love this episode or you listen to me talk weekly to you, I almost said daily, heaven forbid, that would be so much. Listen to me talk weekly, please head over to iTunes, give me 5 stars, leave a written review. The reason I ask you to do that every week is because it's how I get in front of more and more people and spread the good word. You guys are the only way that that can happen. So please give it 5 stars, give me a review. And until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.